Congregation, there is more suffering in the true Christian life that you ever thought you could handle. But there is also more joy in the true Christian life than you ever thought was possible. In fact, that is shown here in Acts 14, particularly in the text verse for this morning, confirming or strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation, much suffering, sorrow, but also an unspeakable joy and strengthening in your soul. And therefore, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate on Acts 14, particular verse 22, which speaks of a strengthening of the congregation. And that strengthening of the congregation is in two ways: exhorting them, you, to continue in the faith, and reminding us that you, we, must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And congregation, let us examine us this morning whether we are in the faith or not. As a background to this chapter, the Apostle Paul is on his first missionary travels. In particular, in the preceding chapter, chapter 13, we of the book of Acts, we read that in the church of Antioch there were pastors, preachers, and teachers, and that the Holy Ghost called the apostle with Barnabas, separate me with Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Lord calls men for ministry. Might it be also from this congregation? And so they left Antioch, nowadays Lebanon, where the war is. And they go to Cyprus. And then they go to nowadays Turkey. And so they visit the cities of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And we read in our chapter, verse 21, they had preached the gospel in that city and they told many. They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Paul came back, returned to the places and the cities where he had preached the gospel, but there was opposition to that gospel. There was also people that believed the gospel. In Antioch, where he had spoken words of exhortation, encouragement, comfort, the apostle had spoken of the history of the people of Israel, God's covenant people, reminding them on their salvation history, salvation itself. You can read it maybe this afternoon in chapter 13. He had preached, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, has preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him that all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of God. Preached the forgiveness of sins through Christ. Proclaims all that we add, something, a gospel plus something else, is not a gospel at all, but only justified by faith in Christ alone. And a sermon like that had a twofold result, and not only in Antioch. The insiders, you can read that the Jews were filled with envy and spoke against the things that Paul preached. And the outsiders, the Gentiles, heard it and they were glad and they were glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then from Antioch they go to to Iconium, first in the synagogue and then to the Gentiles. where we read that the Lord gave testimony unto the word of his grace. In congregation, every time that you come to church, it's the morning or in the evening, pray. Pray that the Lord give testimony unto the word of his grace. And then he leaves Iconium to Lystra and Derbe, and in Lystra he preached primarily to those in idolatry, what we have read, Jupiter and Mercurius. And young people, now it comes a little closer to us. Because maybe so far you said it's all very interesting, all those missionary travels. But now he preaches about idolatry. Young people, idolatry is something in your life that you rest in, that you rely on, other than God. And idolatry can come in various forms, then and now. Idolatry is something life has meaning if. For example, if I'm loved and respected. Approval idolatry. Or I am recognized, young people, by my accomplishment, excelling in college or work, kind of an achievement idolatry. Or that I have a certain level of wealth or financial security or nice possessions, it's materialism idolatry. Or that I adhere to all the religious moral codes and I accomplish all the activities in church, so religion idolatry. Whatever idolatry you have in your life, it isn't trusting in the created things rather than the Creator for your only hope and happiness. Idolatry is, I read, I think it was Calvin, our hearts are idol factories. That takes good things, whatever we receive from the Lord, good things, but we turn them in ultimate things. And then the apostle preached, and it's the Lord's message also to us in the rising from the sermon in Derby. He preached to you that we should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Now also such gospel gets opposition. The unbelieving Jews stoned Paul, leaving outside the city, supposing he had been dead, assuming it was over for this gospel preacher. And then we read, howbeit the disciples stood round about him, and he rose up. And congregation, it is a blessing to have caring people around you in times of difficulty. Also as a congregation. When there are people in difficulties, or go to difficult times, surround them. And then we read something remarkable. And so the apostle returns to the very cities he had preached, where he was kicked out, where there was opposition, where he had seen blessings upon his labor. And he goes back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, where he assisted the congregation and office bearers. But then we read, and when he had ordained elders in every city and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They entrusted them to the Lord, on whom the congregation had believed. It was not about Paul, it was not about Barnabas, but the Lord. And that was the goal of the apostles' preaching. One aim, one purpose, when he visited and preaching to this congregation. One message. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. The text words for this morning. Confirming. The word in the original points to strengthening, supporting, affirming to them. To these congregations that he visited. Not an idle hope, but exhort them to remain, to continue in the faith in the Lord on whom they believe. Now, that can be a challenged faith, particular the circumstances of those congregations. But also for you here this morning with a weak faith, maybe a struggling faith, maybe a tried faith. But apostle's word, the word of the Lord, is to confirm as it builds on the Lord's previous work what he has done. Strengthening, confirm. You see this word a number of times in the book of Acts. Later on in chapter 15, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Or he went to Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Chapter 18, he went all over the country of Galatia in order to strengthen the disciples. So congregation, there are times that the preaching of the word, also from this pulpit, is to strengthen, to confirm the congregation. Strengthening a people that lived and are living in a pluralistic society where Christians are a minority, where religion in general is just a matter of tradition, then a matter of faith. And in that context, the brethren and all the disciples, that are those that cannot miss the Lord anymore. They were strengthened, confirmed in their soul. Their soul was encouraged, exhorted, strengthened, confirmed. Congregation, that could be that are times that you may say or sigh, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. The Lord has been good to your soul. When was it the last time, congregation, that you can testify that? And faith in the Lord on whom they believed. Confirming. There are those moments in your life that you may say, O God, where'er I cry to thee, thou heardest me and did deliver, for by thy strength. Yeah. When soul were afraid, my soul was said, O gracious giver, confirmed in your soul. And what is the apostle doing here? Does he refer to it is good to see one another again? Do you remember those sweet moments that we had together in the past? No, congregation. He gave them a perspective. A perspective how we ought to live, what lays before, what the ultimate future is. Entering in God's kingdom. Not only to be saved, but entering heaven. And then in the first place, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And the word exhorting here in the original points to be an encouragement. We beseech you, calls you, not as a warning, but an urgent, though friendly, pleading with one aim, to continue in the faith. And faith that is planted and worked by the Lord, by word and spirit, and verse 23, in the Lord on whom they believed. And therefore for all of us this morning, do you believe? You are called to continue to believe in the Lord? Challenging as it might be at times. Maybe a city with cares and concerns, the business of family life. It means not to deviate, but an entrusting and continuing, resting, leaning on the Lord and Him alone, daily and often. Remarkable, is it not? The apostle is not providing an exposition what faith is, a kind of a doctrinal explanation, what the congregation should be kept in mind, or how to defend the doctrines of faith. The apostle is not telling them and reminding us what your piety needs to be in this world, what is expected of you, the traditions that you should keep in place, good, biblically good, as the, so to speak. Nothing of this, not at all. But he calls, he pleads, he beseeches, he encourages, he exhorts the congregation to continue in the faith. This is the way here. The church is strengthened and confirmed. And so we are here this morning. Congregation without a pastor. And you look back maybe over 50 years, you have to say the congregation is getting older. Our young people, sometimes difficult to live in Hamilton, too expensive, they have to move out. What is the future of the congregation? To continue in the faith, maybe you are sitting already here with objections and concerns. You say, my faith? You should know. Such struggles, times of affliction, that I have to say with the psalmist, I walk mid trouble sore, and faltering spirit. Maybe this is one that says, my faith, it is by times that I have to say with the prophet Habakkuk, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, so dim, so challenged, when you think of times past. And then when the business of life overtakes you, maybe this is one that's in my face, I don't dare to speak of it. There are times I have so many questions. With all the encouragements in the past, it is more with the psalmist, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he favorable no more? Has God forgotten to be gracious? That it seems there is such a distance between the Lord and your soul. And you know of times past. It was so different that you experienced his nearness. It seems now so distant that you sit here, sorrows compass me, pains get hold upon, I found trouble and sorrow. Maybe it is therefore that you have to be reminded, continue in the faith. And Apostle reminds us in Colossians 1, continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. Which you have heard. What is that? Maybe someone asks, what is that then, to continue in the faith? Congregation, that is a seeking daily our life out of ourself, seeking our life in Jesus Christ. Because you have to acknowledge that you lie in the midst of death when you feel that distance between your soul and the Lord. Yes, you cannot deny having been received of God in mercy only and because for Christ's sake. But that you encounter in your heart, and maybe there is one in our midst, but we confess with the canons of the Lord that there remains an indwelling sin and the temptations of sin and the world. And that you experience that those who are converted, yeah, you would not even dare to say it, eh? But could not persevere in the state of grace if it is left to their own strength. Do you still follow me? And then we read, that is what we confess in the canons of the Lord, but God. That is the hope of the gospel. But God, is faithful. And congregation, that is your only reason, the only ground, your only hope, your anchor to continue in the faith. But God is faithful, who having conferred grace, mercifully confirms and powerfully preserves them herein, even to the end. That is your hope. It is Christ's own promise. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Oh, to whom else shall you then go? Maybe that afflicted one in our midst. Maybe storm-tossed. Maybe not comforted. Oh, maybe struggles of faith. Maybe a faith that you cannot deny. But it is so different than in past times. Be exhorted. Be reminded this morning. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is unchangeable, faithful as he is. God is a refuge for us, for you. In the second place, we are exhorted, we are reminded that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That is also a part of the apostles of the Lord's confirming and strengthening words. And note, in the exhortation, the apostle called, beseeched them. But by reminding, exhorting them, Paul includes himself that we, through much tribulation. And the word through, that points to going through it, experiencing it, enduring it. Much tribulation, affliction, sorrow, suffering. And congregation, and also all the ones in our midst, do you not have to say many in number? As the psalmist says in 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And they are great in diversity. The Apostle Peter reminds us, in heaviness through manifold temptations, tribulations, afflictions. And who in our midst does not know something of these afflictions and tribulations and sorrows in whatever form they come into our life? Bow down because of the circumstances, the challenges in life, adversity. Maybe business is not going well as we hoped for. You have to make decisions, difficult decisions. The sorrows of life. We were reminded this week in the passing Mrs. Kutsia. Suffering maybe among us with psychological suffering, depression, hardships, difficulties, health issues, the loss of loved ones. Maybe there are among us, they are pressed down because of sin. With my burden of transgression, heavy laden, overborne, humbles low my folly, now I mourn. Suffering in men is many-sided, eh? Apostle said we are afflicted, perplexed, struck down. Suffering in the end times, when you follow the news, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear it every day. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquake, diverse places. It's the time we all these are the beginning of sorrows, afflictions, troubles. And of all those manifold different tribulations, suffering and sorrows, the apostle said, we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. We must go through this. We must cope with it, endure it. The original point, it is necessary, it is inevitable. It's part of the encouragement confirming in their soul to be reminded. In this way, we must enter into the kingdom of God, being saved or entering heaven, and entering heaven. Now, maybe you ask by now, is this now the time, is this now the way to confirm and strengthening the souls of the congregation? To strengthen my soul. The apostle confirms them, the Lord strengthens his people to make known to them that the tribulation, the suffering, the sorrow, whatever you have brought into church this morning, that none of our suffering is random and without purpose. And we don't see that always, and we often forget, particularly when you are in times of trouble. But the apostle could testify, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Remind yourself of that. Perplexed at times, but not in despair. Cast down, but not destroyed. Comforted by the knowledge what Christ says to each of his children throughout all the ages, also this morning here in Hamilton. These things have I spoken to you, even this morning, that in me you have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And sometimes, and be honest this morning, and particularly when you have received a place at the Lord's table, because people many times forget that in the midst of tribulation. They look to the circumstances, they look to the situation, but Christ said, in me you have peace. And therefore we pray, I don't know when that was the last time that you had Lord's Supper here, but each time when there is Lord's Supper, we end with these verses in the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper. We pray, grant us also thy grace that we may take up our cross cheerfully, difficult there sometimes. Deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Yes, but one says, if you know what I have to go through, things in life maybe never expected, many times so discouraged, so dispirited, no comfort. Then I ask you, shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness or sorrow, shall that separate you from the love of Christ? If you may know something of that love of Christ, that love that is poured out in your soul, shall all those tribulations then, all those challenges that you go through right now, or when you look back in your life, shall they separate you from the love of Christ who loved you first? Maybe there is one in our midst that says, yeah, but why then those sorrows? Why those sufferings? Why those struggles? Why the situation that I am in right now so challenging? Let me point out at least three reasons. First, that it might bring us closer to the Lord. And the psalmist attests of this. Thou hast seen it, for thou behold mischief and spite to requite it, to take it with thy hand. Meaning, he sees the trouble of the afflicted. And he considers their grief and takes it in his hand. Do you hear? He sees you. Each of his children. The business decisions they have to make, the family situations they are in, the struggles of their soul they are in, he sees you, he considers you, and he takes these sorrows, these sufferings, these struggles in his hand, in his fatherly hand, in his caring hand for Christ's sake, who carried the sorrows of each of his children, who has borne your griefs. Wonderful, eh? Undeserved gospel, is it not? The Lord reminds us through the prophet Jeremiah, comfort us, the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes grief, yet he will compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. To make you more Christ-like and to prepare you for heaven itself. Why these struggles? Maybe physical struggles, maybe soul struggles. In the second place, to be a means of comfort and consolation in the life of others. And this is what the apostle reminds us in 2 Corinthians 1, that it is the Father of mercies. And so that's how we begin our service, mercy. And the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all tribulation, that is your hope. That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Congregation to be a means and encouragement even in the midst of suffering. But that you may testify to those who visit you. Maybe you are a widow. Maybe in your suffering. Maybe in your soul struggles. And then yet to testify who the Lord is for you. That you may say he has dealt well with thy servant, according to his words, that you may testify, it is good for me to be afflicted, because I have learned his statutes. I have learned more of him than ever before, and of myself. Shall you do it? And I speak to God's people. Even when sometimes it is dim and dark for the soul, speak good of the Lord. Strengthening, confirming those that visit you. The God of all comfort, who comforted you. Undeserved, eh? Comforted you in all your tribulation. Can you not be a means of comfort and strength to those who visited you? Third, why those sorrows? Why those griefs? Why those sufferings? The third place, to give us a perspective on eternity. On eternity. Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4, where our light affliction, which is for the moment, works in us far more, exceeding the eternal weight of glory. All of our afflictions in life, in light of eternity, Maybe the struggles that you have right now, the physical struggles, that you feel the body is broken down, are for a moment as light afflictions. To follow the footsteps of Christ, that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together with him. That you may testify, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare to the glory which shall be revealed to us. Oh, congregation, maybe you are in a situation difficult to believe, but it is true as the word is true. And when the Lord shows you that glory that awaits each of his children, to be with him forever and ever and ever. What is that to compare to the sufferings that you go through at the present time? Despite times of sorrow and grief, this unspeakable comfort, the Lord will bring his people home. You shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, what a day that will be. The Apostle John had already did see something of that. Even in a time of tribulation and suffering, and seeing who those came, who truly came home. Yeah, also those who were confirmed and strengthened and reminded, even this morning, that they were reminded that we must, through many tribulations, affliction, enter into the kingdom of God. And he asked, what are these and whence do they come from? Now, these are they came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, that's the only reason, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them to the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Shall the Lord wipe away all your tears from your eyes? Sam Wouw Rutherford writes in a sermon of that moment. He said, what a moment that will be. Then we will see that the sufferings and the tears of the saints shall be wiped away and be removed. When Christ welcome home to poor sinners, they shall come to him with wet faces and bleared with tears for sin and manifold troubles of this life. Manifold troubles of your life, and Christ meets them at the door, and with a fair soft napkin in his hand, he puts his hand to their face and said, hold your tongue, my dear, you shall never weep again. Only and alone when you are washed in the blood of Christ. That blood that cleanses you from all your sins. Congregation, examine yourself that you are in the faith. Looking forward to that day, coming out of the great tribulation, having come through life, maybe many sorrows, inward and outward. Maybe much soul struggle. But then it shall be through him alone. What shall it be to see your children and your grandchildren coming in raising them so many questions? Maybe so many concerns about them. but they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that wonder of grace, despite the father and the mother that I am, not the parental guidance, how well meant. Maybe you have never seen it in your life as a parent, but the Lamb has led them, confirming and strengthening the souls, encouraging them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. One last word in closing. Our text verse said that we must. Our friends, that is a divine must. That is a gracious must. That is a caring must. It is Father's preservation for Christ's sake. Oh, what a comfort. That there is a living Christ who prays for each of his children, even our Father. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Be with me. Congregation, do you long for that? Not to escape the inconveniences of life, the challenges or the sufferings or the troubles of life, but to be delivered from sin forever. To be delivered from self forever. And to be with Him, God in Christ. Oh, friends, that is a longing. We confess it at the end of the Belgian confession. Therefore, we expect that great day with a most ardent desire to that end, that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you hear? Ardent desire. And congregation, be honest, we are sometimes so busy. And the things of time and sense and the challenges of life and the bitterness of life and all those things that can pull us so down to earth. The decisions that you face. But then those moments, there is this ardent desire. And then to come home and to hear from the King Christ himself, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, from the foundation of the world. Oh, then the former things shall not be remembered and will not come to mind. And the voice of the weeping shall be heard no more, nor the voice of the crying. Comfort one another then with these words.